This morning I want to talk to you about the supernatural power that God has made available to every believer. If there is next gen, they could go. The supernatural power that God has made available to every believer. Say with me, supernatural power is available to me. All right, Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And the NIV doesn't put the word brethren in, so it just says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. God wants to operate with His power through your life. He wants not only to meet your need, but He wants to meet the needs of those about and around you through His power. He doesn't expect you to meet their needs. He expects you to use His power to meet their needs. Yes. You understand? But God also wants you, in the power of His might, to be able to deal with things like demons, diseases, unseen evil forces, sickness, injury, or whatever comes down life's road towards you. And He has provided the power for you to be an overcomer every single time. There is no provision for failure in the New Testament. We are always more than conquerors. We are always overcomers. You understand? And so if you're at this moment under the water, or you are not in a position of God's peace in your life, understand you're not in His perfect position where He wants you. His desire for you to be. And there is a way that we can get there. And I believe that today, as we have a look at some of these things in Scripture, that there will be a revelation, there will be a manifestation, there will be a deeper understanding of what God has provided for you. I believe the Lord wants to take you to a new place in Him so that you can begin to operate in that which He has provided for you. All right, so Ephesians 6 and verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. So, we're going to do a little teaching this morning, a little preaching. First, I want to pick on the word strong. The word strong from the Greek is the word in dunamio, pretty close. And you can see dynamite in that word. It's in dunamo, mayo, very close. I'm not a Greek scholar in the sense that I don't know how to pronounce these words. I have to look them up, how to pronounce them. But what it means is this. It describes a power whose purpose is to infuse a believer with an excessive dose of inner strength. So this word strong, when Paul, inspired by the Holy Ghost, said be strong, he was actually saying to us to be so strong inwardly, be so endured inwardly, to be so infused inwardly that you are able to withstand any attack successfully. And every kind of force that comes against you, you can overcome it. That's the strength He wants you to display. Paul wrote, as you know, to the Greeks. And in classical Greek mythology, you know there were these gods and God's children. And one of these children, who I'm sure you're very familiar with, is Hercules. Now, according to Greek mythology and this classical Greek period, Hercules was handpicked by the gods and given a supernatural power. He was invested with a supernatural strength and ability to accomplish a superhuman task. And if you know anything about Hercules, you've seen any of the movies, read the comics, whatever, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yes. Paul uses that exact word to describe what we as believers have. He's trying to explain to us. So when he's addressing the Greeks, he's saying, you guys know Hercules? You all know Hercules? When I listen to believers, I want you to be as strong as Hercules in the might of the Lord. Amen. And they go, whoa. Yeah, we know who Hercules is. You got to be kidding. Have you seen that guy? That's what he was saying to them. So Paul also preached by illustration. He took an illustration that was there for everybody to understand in those times, and he related to believers. And now we can do the same thing 2,000 years later. Paul uses the Greek word to describe the kind of supernatural strength that's available to believers in Jesus Christ. Everybody say, I'm Hercules.
I'm Hercules.
You've always wanted to be. You don't look like Hercules on the outside, but I've got news for you. You are on the inside. And the sooner you realize that, the better it'll be for you. Because some of you see yourself as weak and puny and victims. You always see yourself as the underdog. Hercules was never the underdog. He was always the one who brought victory to every village. He was always the one who overcame evil forces. Right? You got to begin to believe that what God has in you, that strength, is in fact available to you. Now let's take the next word. The next word, well, I'll take the last word. The last word of this sentence, the word power. Now, if you're at Bible college, you're familiar with this word. It's the word kratos. Say kratos.
Kratos.
All right, so you can talk Greek now.
Yeah.
Well, this word, as you know from college, describes the unseen power that the king exercises. He has this power, but you actually see it demonstrated. So we're not actually talking about his authority that he has as king. We're actually talking about when he rules, when he makes a decree, he releases power. There's a power that goes forth from that king that can't be stopped. That word is the word kratos. Okay? Now, when Paul wrote this, he was saying that it is a demonstrative, eruptive, tangible power. In other words, it's a power that is always external and can always be seen. It is not a hypothetical power. It is a manifested power. Everybody say manifested.
Manifested.
I'm of the opinion that Christianity is supposed to be a manifested belief.
Amen.
It's not supposed to be a theoretical, hypothetical theory that we believe in, but rather an outworked, manifested power of what we believe.
Amen.
You agree with me?
Yes.
Well, the time has come for us to start operating in that.
Yes.
You agree with me?
Yes.
We've got to move over to that realm where we're operating in the manifested kratos, which is the outworking power. The only way we can really describe this power is a volcano. Now, some of you have seen when the volcano erupted in the northwest of America and how that it destroyed everything for 20 miles. Remember that terrible volcano that erupted a number of years ago? Well, when you look at a volcano, if you go to Hawaii or Yellowstone or whatever it is, and you see that mountain, you know that that mountain has got power. You know it's a dangerous force. Probably the most dangerous force known to man. But it's dormant. When it erupts, it's kratos. You see the difference?
Yes.
All right. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. We're talking about real power. We're not talking about hypothetical power. This is real power. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says that when God raised Jesus from the dead, he used kratos. It was an explosive power that God used, demonstrating and manifesting the rising from the dead. Verse 19 of Ephesians 1. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? This is the power toward us who believe. God's power toward us who believe. According to the working of his mighty kratos. You see, kratos is a working power. It is an outwork power. It is not a dormant power. Iskus is more of a dormant power. But kratos is the release of power. It is the manifestation of power. You actually see this with your eyes. You can feel it with your body. You see it and know it in the sense realm. There's no arguments when Kratos is displayed. Like, I wonder if that was God. Everybody's lying on their back. I wonder what that was. Kratos. In the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Right? Now, this power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead is the exact same identical power that is at work in us. It'll change your life and you'll never be the same again if you get what I'm saying today. It might be the most significant thing you've ever heard, but it will change the way that you think about what God did for you and who God is in your life. If you can just grasp this, if you can get a revelation of this, Kratos is the resurrection power manifested. It is irresistible. It is overpowering. It is conquering. Nothing can stand against it. The soldiers were flattened when Kratos hit them. The stone was rolled away when Kratos hit it. The earth shook when Kratos hit it. And the soldiers lay paralyzed on the floor, unable to move or to speak, as if they were dead. You understand? It's irresistible. It's overpowering. Nothing can stand in its way. The Kratos of God infused into Jesus and went into every single cell of his body. No death could possibly hold him. Because this Kratos power, the life of God, just literally brought him up from the dead. Amen. Yeah. Death had no chance. Amen. Satan had no chance. I want to say this to you. Kratos is the strongest power known to God and to man. There is nothing stronger. The atomic bomb pales in comparison to Kratos. Be strong in dunamio, in the Lord, and in his mighty Kratos. Paul wasn't telling Christians to be a wimp. He was telling them, if there's something in front of you, move it out the way. If there's a mountain, tell it to go. If there's a river, you dry it. If there's a sea, you split it. Do you understand what he was telling you? He wasn't telling you to roll over and play dead. It doesn't matter what the politicians say or do, because you're operating in Kratos. It doesn't matter where the vote goes. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Because in your life, you're operating in Kratos. Now, the word mighty. The word mighty is an extract from the word ischus, and we looked at that as well in Bible college. And ischus describes the mighty strength or muscular capabilities of God. If you were to go to the gym and see Hercules working out and stand there in amazement and decide not to take off your sweats, you would have seen ischus. You would have seen this muscular guy bulging all over the place, and you'd want to ask him where he rented his muscles from. So you can go rent some for yourself. When you see a bodybuilder and you see him standing in his pose, he's actually not using his muscles, he's simply flexing them. You know this person's got strength, but he's not using it. See, America used to be like that. America just used to speak. Take that wall down. Or we will take it down. And they took it down. America just had to say something, because America was the dominant force in the earth. It was the muscle. It was the one who, when it speaks, you listen. It's the same thing as what happened when a man crossed a parakeet with a tiger. We don't know what he got, but when it spoke, you listened. America was that muscular man that didn't have to flex its muscle. It didn't have to do anything. It simply had to say, move.
Yes, that's right.
You got it?
Yes.
That is Iskus. That is a ruling power that you know, that you know, that you know this person has. And you don't want to mess with it.
That's right.
If they lower their voice, you just run shouting, yes, sir. Paul was trying to convey the picture of the bodybuilder's muscular strength. So he had Hercules in here. He had the muscular physique of a bodybuilder. And he had the Kratos of God. And he was saying to the believers, you be strong in the mighty power of God. He didn't have to write anything else. If that's all he wrote in his whole book, it would be enough. And we could have lived all our life just on that one verse. But you see, the thing is, we haven't seen the revelation of it. We haven't seen the revelation of it. Because unfortunately, now I need to be careful what I'm saying here, because I don't want to downplay the love of God. I don't want to downplay that, because He is love. He has power, but He is love. And the first thing He does is He comes across with love. But because He has so much power, and He is so strong, and He is so almighty, the marvelous thing about Him is that He displays His love ahead of His power. With one wipe of His hand, just one wipe of His hand, flood of Noah, and the whole earth is wiped out. With one spraying of His hands, the Bible says all the stars and universes were flung into space and are still growing. He holds the whole world in the palm. This is the God we're talking about. This is the power we're talking about. And we are told to be strong in Him.
That's good.
I don't care how strong and how weak you are. That's what Paul said, when I am weak, He is strong. When you see yourself in Him, and you see what He can do for you and what He wants to do for you, and then His love makes this available. Now, what's happened in the church world is we are focused on the love, which is good, it's not bad, to the neglect, which is bad, to the neglect of the power of God. And Paul writes and he says, stay away from them who deny the power. You see the problem? The problem is not so much that people have neglected the power as much as they've rejected the power. Wow. Neglect, reject. Neglect, reject. Church, I believe that even though we knew about the power, that we are guilty of neglect.
Yes.
Not reject. That's not us. But neglect, maybe. And that's going to change.
Amen.
I'm sick and tired of a milk toast gospel. You hear me?
Amen.
Sick and tired of it.
Amen.
Yeah, if you're going to clap, clap.
Yeah.
It's okay to clap in the church, okay? I'm not receiving the applause. I understand that you're happy about it.
Yes.
So it's just time that we stop this sloppy agape. Okay, and get a little bit more firm, a little bit more bold, a little bit more in your face.
Yes.
Because we've got the power of God to do it.
Amen.
But we're operating in the shell of love.
Yes.
Okay, that's where we got to go. So, now, Paul is trying to convey this picture of the bodybuilder. Now, when the Holy Spirit, on occasion, wants to refer to God's inherent ability, the inherent ability is the volcano just sitting there. There's inherent ability. Inherent ability, it belongs to this being. Okay? Inherent authority. A father has inherent authority. There's something about his position. He has this power, ability, capability in him. But literally, when God, the Holy Spirit, wants to talk about God's power as being unstoppable and being able or capable of doing anything he wants, he uses another word. He doesn't use kratos, he doesn't use iskus, and he doesn't use the first word that I gave you, and I'll try and pronounce it again, in dunamo. He doesn't use any of those words. He uses another word, and the word is dunamis. So, introduction number four, fourth word concerning power. Now, for those of you who are Bible students, if you were to run your concordance, whether Strong's or Young's or whatever, and look up the word for miracle in the New Testament, or for the word sign, like sign and wonders, you're going to find the word dunamis. You're actually not going to find a word for miracle or the word for sign. There isn't one. It's the word dunamis. Now, you mean to buckle yourself down. Acts 1:8. Jesus is speaking. Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, the one who died on the cross for us, the one who was raised from the dead, the head of the church, said, "You shall receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit has come on you. And you shall be my witnesses." You'll be witnessing to me in miracles, in signs, in wonders, in demonstration. You hearing me? To the degree that we are not operating in the miraculous, the signs, and the wonders, to that degree we are failing and falling short of the glory of God. We are falling short of what God intended. We are falling short on why the Holy Spirit was given to us. And whatever the reason is, it's about to change. Yes. Because I've had enough of hiding and acting like it doesn't matter. It does matter. It mattered enough to Jesus for him to ask for the Holy Spirit for me so that I could operate in dunamis. So that when I lay hands on the sick, they recover. So when I speak to the dead, that they come back to life. So when I curse cancer, that the person is healed. That when I speak to a short leg, it grows out. He gave me that power as a witness. I'm supposed to witness to the dunamis in me because that's what Jesus gave me through the kratos, the resurrection power that is in me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul had just been on Mars Hill in Greece when all the philosophers gather together to hear what's new, the new philosophy on the block. And they would all get together and they would talk about the new philosophy. And they would talk about this God and that God and the strange things were going on. And Paul gets up, as he usually does, and draws illustrations from the local community. He talks about a God that's there, an offering that's been made to an unknown God, to anybody, any God, unknown. Let's do it. And everybody's got these little gods. And if you've been to Greece, you know what I'm talking about. You drive past the streets and everybody in front of their house has got a little God. Still today. It's a God-fearing nation. Just the wrong God. So Paul picks on this and he begins this philosophical discourse with them. And when he's finished, everybody says, nice word. Yeah, we will hear you again. Come back. Talk some more. And he walks off. Nobody gets saved. He walks off and he says, I can't believe what just happened. I just preached my heart out, one of the best sermons of my whole life, and nobody gets saved. Hey, Paul, I know exactly how you feel. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Got a T-shirt. Mars Hill, look. So Paul decides to write back to the Corinthians. And he said, I'm coming. Get yourselves ready. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and in the dunamis, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the dunamis of God. He said, you guys get ready. He made a conscious decision, and I have made the same decision, that I will never again preach without consciously demonstrating the kratos and the dunamis, miraculous supernatural acts of the Spirit of God. Because I am here to represent Him, not a theory or a philosophy. And He said He would confirm the words with signs following. And that word signs is the word dunamis. Maybe we should call this church dunamis. But then only Greeks would have shown up. I believe with all my heart that when revelation comes to an individual or to a group, that that revelation is to produce a demonstration followed by a manifestation. If you have received the revelation of being Spirit-filled, then you ought to have the manifestation of somebody laying hands upon you, and out comes tongues.
Yes.
As part of the demonstration that you have received what you believe.
Yes.
Amen. Don't tell me you believe in healing the sick and every person you pray for dies. You understand what I'm saying? You got to make up your mind. Are we faking it or are we faithing it? It's just time that we begin to faith this thing and to walk out our faith in God and to demonstrate what we believe. Stop the chirping. Stop the talking. Show me. Show me the money. Stop the talking. Enough already. God's ability is linked to the power in us. Whatever you can think about God, whatever you can imagine about God, that is what's linked inside of you. My last scripture for the day, Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or dare even think. He's able to do beyond your wildest imaginations. He's able to do beyond your dreams. He's able to do beyond your hopes. He's able to go beyond anything that you could ever think about. According. How? According to what? The power, dunamis, that is at work in us. The dunamis that's at work in us. When you get a revelation and an understanding that you are occupied in this temple with the fullness of God, that His dunamis is available to you, His uskos is available to you, and that you can release the kratos on demand. Kratos has got to come from you. And we keep waiting for God to do it. In the meantime, He gave it to us. And He said, my ability is linked to the power that's in you. I am able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that is in you.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes,
he is.
Smith Wigglesworth was asked, how come he has so many healings? How come he's raised 21 people from the dead? How come nobody else has ever seen this before and he's walking strange and whenever he's there, the Holy Spirit moves? How's it possible? Because he said, well, if the Holy Spirit doesn't move, I move him. And he wasn't being arrogant. He was a man operating by faith. He was called the apostle of faith because he believed what this word said. He believed this word. And he operated like it was true. I wonder how many of us are having problems believing this is true. Or maybe it's partially true. Well, which, if it's only partially true, which part is true and which part isn't true? It's either all true or it's not true. I'm going to choose to believe it's all true. I'm going to choose to believe there's a heaven and there's a hell. That Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead for me. I'm going to choose to believe he is the Son of God, the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm going to choose to believe he gave me the Holy Spirit. And that in me is the dunamis, the ability to work the miraculous. I'm going to believe that. And you know what? I'm going to face people that are sick and dying as if it's true.
Yes.
Is it or isn't it true? Then face it if it's in fact true.
Right.
And next time you face an unsaved person, don't face them like a coward.
Right.
Don't face them all timid.
Yes.
Face them as if you are ready to release Kratos onto them.
Yeah.
Face them as if you know you've got Iskus in you. And the dunamis has been given to you to witness to this person. And when you speak, believe in the name of Jesus that you're speaking by the power of God to them.
Yes.
That when you speak, it's God speaking to them.
Yes.
Shake their brains with the words that come from your mouth.
Amen. Yes.
Rattle them to the very core of their being.
Yes.
Don't let them stand there and intimidate you.
Yeah.
Who are you? You're a son of the Most High God.
Amen.
And His power is in you. And you're facing a child of the enemy.
Yes.
Now either Christ made you victorious or He didn't.
Amen.
And if He did, then you're victorious in that situation. Then act like you are. Act like the hero that you are. Act like the Hercules He made you to be. Act like the Son of God He made you to be.
Amen.
Until we begin to act like who we are, we're not going to see the results He promised us to have.
Amen.
We back off into the shadows like cowards. Next time you see somebody in need, know that you're the solution.
Yes.
You're not part of the problem.
Yes.
Let's get up. I'm surprised you stayed seated. Spirit of the Lord says that death always precedes life. That the seed has to die before it can bring forth life and increase. And the cycle of life includes a shedding and a dying to bring forth new life. In God, there is a falling away of the old to release and to produce the new. The old covenant had to pass in order for the new covenant to be birthed. And if you're going to walk in the new, you have to release the old. You cannot hold on to both. And if you're going to walk in the power of God, you have to release the thoughts of inferiority. You have to release the thoughts that Satan will bring against you and tell you that you're not able. Don't do this. You'll be a fool. And you have to take the thoughts of God and believe what He said about you and what He gave you. So release the old Embrace the new. Don't be afraid. Do what he says. And begin to walk in it. Begin to believe it. Begin to believe that he has placed his anointing upon you for this hour, for this moment, for you to do the works of God. Believe he's called you at this time and filled you with his power so that you could do the significant greater works that Jesus wanted done. Some of you are getting on in years. Your time is getting short. Make every moment count. Increase the intensity. Increase the intensity of your faith. Increase the intensity of your prayer life. Increase the intensity of your willingness to believe God. And be the man or woman that God has always wanted you to be. Stop hiding in the shadows. You are filled with light. Come out of the darkness and be the light of this world, because you are the light of this world. He made you to be the light of this world. So be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Now let's praise him. Come on. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. We glorify you, Lord. We receive that in the name of Jesus.